Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How sweet it is to see our volume of people come back in this morning. We have a good group here. Thank you for all your smiling faces, and we just give you a warm welcome, and just know that God will bless you the rest of the day for sharing in this service. And we know Brother Dylan always has his wonderful message, and the last time he was here, somehow he got rid of those marks on his arms real quick. I'll tell you. Amen. Good service. It was kept your attention. We appreciate it always. Thank you for being here and serving us. But again, we want to give you a warm welcome and just praise you for being with us today. Any announcements?
I have quite a few.
You can take that down and talk.
Okay, first, the church is going to be selling Easter baskets. This is money raised so we can have a one-day Bible camp at the Rocky Ridge Park. It'll be a one-day thing. We got it set up for June 25th. We don't have any information on everything yet. We're going to have a vacation Bible school meeting March the 23rd out here in the parking lot. If anybody wants to help, they are more welcome to come. If you can't come and want to help, we're going to have a sign-up sheet put up back there for donations for the park. And these come just like this. The eggs will be filled with candy, and they're $10. We have already sold 22 of them.
Wow. Good.
So we're going to try to do as many as we can. That's for that. And then the church, Mount Tabor Church, is doing the Easter egg hunt. Instead of an Easter egg hunt, they're going to do a drive-thru. And on front of this is the thing on there. It'll be set back there. And donations, if you want to donate money or whatever, can go right in here, and the church will come over and pick it up.
Okay. Thank you, Tammy.
Remember the meeting March 23rd.
March 23rd at 6 o'clock. And bring a lawn chair, because we're going to set out in the parking lot if it's nice. Instead of having to come in here and all that, we'll just set out in the parking lot and discuss what we're going to do. As far as I know right now, it's going to be from 9 to 3 at the Mount Tabor Park. If parents have to drop their kids off like at 8 o'clock or 8:30, that's fine. We'll be there. We're going to do 3 lessons, and I think it has to do with families and stuff like that. We're not doing and ordering a kit because we're only doing it one day. I think Kelly said she's going to make all the stuff up. We're going to have lunch, and we decided to go with Lunchables for lunch so that everything's already packed in one thing. Then we're going to have a snack in the morning, then lunch, and then we'll do our lesson throughout the day, and then we'll do a snack. And I think she wants the ice cream truck, or the shaved truck ice cream with snow cones and stuff, to come in the afternoon for a treat for the kids. So it'll be, it'll be a registration that we'll have to do. I think right now, I think she said there's at least 10 kids that are interested in it. So hopefully we can get it out there once we do the meeting and get everything situated, and then that way we'll have more kids. So. Okay?
Thank you, Tammy. A lot of good things going on. Any other announcements, please? You know, we're a little late getting started here, but do you know why that is? We're on fast time, and it just keeps moving, so give you something to think about. Okay, at this time, we're going to have ourselves a little music. So open your ears and let your minds be part of it. Thank you. Amen, right? That was beautiful. Thank you, Maxie. You know, do you ever stop and think what the word holy really represents? It's a purity that is no more perfect than that. And that's what our God represents. Thank him for his holiness. One thing I forgot to announce, the brochures here for the BRF are on the back bench back there. They come once a month, and please avail yourself to them. The ministers that put their information in there have got very good, well, you can learn a lot, let's put it that way. Also, I forget sometimes to mention that we don't lift an offering here. We do have a free will offering box on the back bench back here on the left-hand side. So anyone that would feel the need to drop something in, we'd definitely appreciate it. Thank you for that. And I just want to say, too, as I think about it, you know, through these 3 months, we've been blessed, truly blessed, with such great ministry. And we can't thank God enough for the people that has stepped up to the plate in order to give us that service and be able to sit here in the warm and just appreciate God's words through the ministry of those who came to serve us. So may Dylan and many others that have stood up here and presented their time and their talents and their love be blessed fully for their efforts. In our call to worship this morning, you know, I was spraying some WD-40 the other day, and I got it on my glasses. They didn't do much for my glasses, but you know my eyes worked easier. I must say that. What's wrong, Deb?
You're
right. Oh, Garth, I appreciate you making me laugh a little bit. It makes me feel better. In our call to worship this morning, please open your bulletins and look at Psalms 27:4 as it is printed. Says, one thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Where else would we rather be? You know, this old life ain't going to last forever. When you get up in years, you think about it more. How about you, Max? I do. That's true. But yes, you do, and you just think about, wow, one day we can put these old pains and misery away, even though we'll miss our loved ones so much. But it will be fruitful, and the trees will be ripe, and we can just, well, enjoy ourselves with those that we loved and went on before. Okay. With that being said, let us humbly come to a little prayer, if we could, please. Dear Father, we just thank you for the gifts that you have given us. You've given us 2 ears to listen. You've given us 2 eyes to see the need, 2 hands to give the gentle touch, and 2 arms to pick up another's load. And if you doubt that, just look in Job 42 and he'll refresh your memory. So Father, we just thank you for the giving us exactly what we need to be of service to you. So, Father, just help us to see the need and respond in the appropriate manner that we can serve you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. I don't need that tickle. At this time, we'll have another musical selection. Wouldn't it be wonderful to accomplish what our Lord has accomplished and bring it to the truth of life and as he has done for us? How wonderful it is. We just bless him. How about joys and concerns this morning? Who do we have? What do we need? Frank?
I think we still need to remember Cousin Larry, of course you, brother, and several others that's in our church. Cousin Ralph, and several others in our church that are having physical, mental issues, I'll say it that way. And we want to remember our development up there, because there's been several that have been taken ill. Matter of fact, a couple passed away recently. So we want to keep them in our prayers. Of course, our family and our friends. And I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to all of our everyone here this morning, especially the guests.
Amen. Amen. Danny.
Yeah, just keep my mom and neighbor's wife on the prayer list, and our soldier.
You know, I think about the National Guard taking and holding their position at the Capitol building. Did you ever see where a lot of them have to sleep? It don't look too pleasant. I don't know where they get their meals or anything, but they're going through quite a bit just to keep others safe this day. So you got a valid point there. Thank you. Tammy. Wilton, and what was the other, honey?
I just said he went through a shot this week. So
oh.
And the rest of this week, month he got doctor's appointments. And too, Bob, I forgot to announce, when I announced about the Easter basket, we need them no later than March 21st, next Sunday. Then we put them together, and we will deliver them to your house.
Everybody hear that?
And we will put a sign up sheet back there if anybody wants to put it on there, and we'll check it, and then we'll make the baskets, and then we'll deliver them to the people's house.
Your donations are due next Sunday. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they were $10 a piece, I think you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah.
I just think it's a joy just to have a place that we can come to and call home. This church and the people in it, where will we be without those brothers and sisters that send thoughts of encouragement, phone calls, food when you're having issues? I'm just thankful that we have our home congregation.
Amen. Amen. God give us the privileges to have such a strong foundation. And as they always say, when you build it on a rock, by golly, when the storm comes, you don't have to worry about your body or your facility blowing away or being disturbed. So let your foundations of your spirit always be rested in the glory of our Heavenly Father. Any others, please? Daniel? I appreciate it. Okay, let us humbly come before the Lord. Any desire, you can kneel, you can sit, whatever you feel comfortable at. The Lord will hear your prayers. So let's come to prayer at this time. And then we'll end it in the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, again, as you've given us the day with sunshine out there, how good it is just to look up and to know that your face is there and you're looking down watching over everybody. You give us the provisions of life. You've given us the time to have families, have homes, have education, and the ability to work and to make those provisions come to our point in life where we can enjoy them. Oh, Father, we just thank you so much for each and every one out here today. We thank you, Lord, for your care and giving us your house right here that has been maintained and provided through the years for the welcome of us as we enter. So many times I've said, and you've heard me, every time I walk through that door, something lifts me up. So thank God for that. And Father, we want to think about the hand that we touched so many times, and the requests that we have, and the prayers that you answer. Oh, Father, we look to you and think of Ralph and recovering from his stroke and how well he's doing right now, gaining his strength back. Father, it is our request today. And you know that whatever we ask, you're a busy gentleman and you got a lot to do. So just put it into your things to be done, Father, and just listen for healing. And Father, we think of Debbie that stands by and gives so much care, just as my wife and for me and so many other folks and their spouses, Father. Just lift them up and give them the energy that is needed to be able to care. Father, we think of Joey and Paige, our neighbors that we haven't seen for several days, and when you don't, one makes you wonder what happened. And finally, we got word they're on vacation. That was good news. We thank you, Lord, for that, and for the family that shares so much time with us and just being friends and just appreciating one another. And Father, we think of Larry and Michelle that are going through trying times too. And there again, Michelle is another caretaker in what she does for Larry. But we pray for healing and comfort in both of their situations. Father, you know me. You know what's been going on better than I do. Just help give me an understanding and a path to go. And lead me to the right right place for a little bit of, less pain. Oh, Father, we just thank you for hearing that. Thank you for Frank and Pat. And thank you for his neighbors that have been touched by your spirit and also maybe touched by the time they had to go home. And Father, we ask that you just lift them up and comfort them at this time. And the many families around there that are also have various needs. And Father, we think of Danny's mom. We think of his neighbors and we think of the soldiers. So many, Father, out there on the front lines so many times, and our loved ones. As we age, we just need a little extra care, Lord, and you can help provide that through the means of our children, our friends, or our neighbors. Oh, bless you, Father. Father, we thank you for Wilton. We thank you that he has been able to accomplish a doctor's appointment and so many other tests that he had, but at the end of the month, go to Hopkins to see what maybe they can find out or what's going on. But, Father, in the meantime, we just pray for strength. We pray for his ability to be able to move and adjust till he gets a visit at the doctor's. Oh, Father, we are so privileged to have this house of worship. We are so privileged that it was built by the men of faith and strength by your wisdom. And, Father, we thank you for the ministers that have been in our presence and has served us all these 3 months. And even in the past and the future to come, I'm sure there'll be more opportunities, and we look forward to that as well. But, Father, we also ask a blessing upon Pastor Tracy and Pat. And, Father, we just know that he has had his time to be able to do what he needed to do to bring his education, his strength, his knowledge intact with you, Father. So we just lift you up that you would control each and every one. Oh, Father, again, we are blessed. And so as we come into our heart, oh, Father, if you would, and just purify our thoughts, all of you and none of us, Lord. We just need you every hour. Let your love reign in our beings. Take up residence, Father, and allow us to follow your instructions. Oh, Father, we just ask so many times that you've given us the means, the opportunities, and the will to give you the strength, and we just thank you so much for that. As we ask it all in Jesus' name, as he taught us to pray in holy unison the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, in the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we'll share in another video.
he knew the man was soft. Now he looks like Bobby at this town. Years ago, he was here when Steve didn't turn away like some others. Now tears fell off. All was a man. They didn't hesitate to send him out to calm things down. What happened to the fall? When he had the fall, we don't know him anymore. They say it was the blow to your head, but we all know you heard something on the road. Made you turn, not look back. Leave your home, reach the one crucified. All sang a song of Messiah and salvation in the town. Far away, beaten and arrested. Hard times always cherished when you race. I'm not a betting man, but my money is on Paul. His words dance in my head. What happened to you, Paul? When you had the fall, we don't know you anymore. They say it was the blow to your head, but we all know you heard something on the road. When you turn, not look back, leave your home, preach the one crucified.
You know, if you look down there and you looked at the sermon title, A Servant, Maxine always applies her intelligence and her knowledge to bring the music into that same realm, and we thank you for that, Maxine. Also, the ones that have mailboxes back here, Tracy was by this past week and brought a few shamrocks with little notes on it about Jesus Christ, Father God, Holy Spirit, and the Trinity. And it says, Happy St. Patrick's Day, 2021. Love, Tracy and Pat. So, look in your mailboxes, please. Okay, this morning, for a scripture reading, comes from 2 Corinthians 6, 3 to 10. Follow with me, please. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance and afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by pity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God with weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in all repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true as unknown, and yet are well known as dying and see. We are alive as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many riches, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. You know, so many times we might think about that. We don't have nothing, but we've really got everything. And that everything comes from the Master. At this time, it's my privilege to bring Brother Dylan up here and let him fulfill our hearts with the message. Thank you, brother.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
What comes to your mind when you think of a servant? You may think this is a simple question which requires very little thought, but in reality, that question is very important. As I have realized that some of us have varying ideas of a servant. Some of us think different things when we think of a servant. Some think of a servant as a helper, while others think of a servant as a slave. Some think of a servant and the word sacrifice comes to mind, while others have the word fulfilling come to mind. Some think of servant and feel a sense of obligation, while others feel opportunities arising. With that wide spectrum of thoughts on servanthood clarified now, I'm going to again ask, what comes to your mind when you think of servant? That one word, servant. You see, the idea of servanthood has significant rooting in Christianity, even though it's not one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit listed in Galatians 5. Those fruits, in conjunction with Jesus' commandment to love others, have created a calling to servanthood in Christianity. This has led to missionary and evangelical tours, which have enabled the gospel to spread into deeper parts of the world than any plague could ever reach. Think about that. Because as of September 2020, the full Bible has been translated into 704 different languages, the New Testament in an additional 1,551 languages, and portions are currently being translated in another 1,160 languages. We're not just talking about countries here. We're talking about deep, isolated parts of the world that the gospel is reaching currently. That is one piece of evidence to the expanse of Christian servanthood, all the people putting their lives out for this. Think about our denomination. The Church of the Brethren claims significant ties to the idea of servanthood. Throughout the compelling vision that the denomination has been going through, its characteristic of our faith has continuously appeared across the spectrum. In the initial 2008 questioning with the compelling vision, the top three answers given in response to qualities that the denomination shares, top three qualities that the denomination shares were love of neighbor, love of Jesus, and service. Service is very important to us. It topped community and peace. Acts of service are so important, but sometimes I honestly worry about our motivation behind service and how we perceive service as it relates to Scripture. We're going to dive into this morning. But as we go there, I just ask you to bear with me and be patient as I put together what Scripture explains servanthood to be. In the Scripture that Mr. Bob read this morning, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read in verse 4 that Paul is clarifying that as a servant of God, these things he has experienced, displayed to commend himself, him and his fellow friends in ministry service. Service. Now your translation may read ministers. But I had a slight conflict when I read this passage and Paul called himself a servant of God. Because if you read the Gospel of John, in John 15 verses 9 through 17, we read, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. See, Paul calls himself a servant here, but Jesus clarified, we read in the Gospel of John, that those who follow him are not servants, but rather friends. So I don't know about you, but this had me scratching my head. Am I a servant or am I a friend? Because Scripture doesn't contradict itself, but here we see both sides. So let's do some digging, because I want to know, can I call myself a servant of God, or am I calling myself a friend? A friendly servant. It's a great way to put it. We're going to get there. You see, in John 15, the word for servant used here is doulos. Doulos translates to servant, or even more than that, a slave. This is someone who is subjected to service of the master, to serving the master. Now, looking at the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the word for servant that Paul uses is diakonos. Diakonos is described as an attendant or a waiter. Think about your last visit to a restaurant. Who did the waiter or the waitress serve? Were they serving their employer, or rather the guests who arrived? Who was getting served? So you see, Jesus says, you are not a slave. You are not subjected to serving the master. But rather, as Paul clarifies, you are to serve those around you. You are a friend of me, Jesus says. You are my friend. Or even more than that, guess what? We're working alongside each other. I'm helping you as you help me. Because I think we can pull, if you go back to Job, all the trials that Job went through, saying, God, why'd you let this happen? Why did this have to happen to me? Why am I going through this trouble? This isn't directly the same, but we can see in Job 38, the Lord clarifying. Where in verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who determined its measurements? Verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy, who was there? Who shut the sea in the sea with doors? Who made the cloud its garment? Who prescribed bounds? Who has commanded morning since the days began and caused the dawn to know its place? Light is withheld from the wicked. Who withholds the light? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, Job, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all of this. See, God is clarifying there that Job, where were you when I did all this? You ask why I do what I do. Well, why do you do what you do? And here I am in control of all. Don't you know I am in control? And if God can do all of that, if God is in control of that, harsh truth is, what service can you do to God? I mean, honestly, what can you do for God that is needed? And that is, not as a doulos, as a slave to him, but as a diakonos for him. A servant for God who is serving those around him. That is how you serve God. You see, take of it, and a servant, a waiter or a waitress, do they just walk in, grab a towel, wrap it over their arm, grab a pad and paper, and walk over and start taking orders? Or do they first go to the boss and say, hey, I want to be a part of what you have going on here. This is what I can bring to the table. And then the boss says yes or no. And the boss brings that person in, and then that person begins to serve those who come in. And guess what? When you choose to be a Christian, when you confess your sins, when you go under those baptismal waters and you say, this is how I want to live my life, you have then walked into the boss and said, hey, I want to be a part of what you have going on here. May I serve those who are around me. May I serve those on this earth. May I serve these people, Lord. And guess what? The Lord says, you are hired. Because of my son, you are hired. Come on board. Show other people what I have to offer here. Because I think we all know someone who has looked for a job. We probably know at least one person who has been in need of a job, knows someone employed somewhere else, hears about how good that work environment is, and that person says, hey, wait a minute. I may have had my car serviced there, or I went into that store to buy something. I had a really good service there. I see how the employees are treated. I see how happy they are. I want to go work there. Our Christian service should be the same way. The way we live our lives should make people feel inclined to come and serve. Not as a slave serving strictly the master, but as a servant who is serving those around them. Showing people how great the environment is. And you see, the servant does not only display devotion through the acts of service, but as Paul clarifies here, also through acts of endurance. You see, Paul had direct intentions when he wrote this letter to the Corinthian church. He founded this church in about the year 51, and after leaving her troubling reports about false teachings and acceptance of sin. So he then wrote two letters to the church, the second of which is 1 Corinthians. We don't have the first anymore. These letters were received poorly, so this prompted Paul to go back to Corinth around the year 55, but was a short and painful visit. Paul had very strict accountability. You see, the false teaching, along with that strict accountability, created a very strained relationship. So after Paul's harsh departure, another letter was written out of anguish, which we don't have. And that was followed with a fourth and final letter, which is 2 Corinthians. Paul wanted to stake one final claim to his authenticity of devotion to the gospel and the church at Corinth, letting them know, hey, this is what I've endured. This is what I'm going through. I'm just pleading out to you. Please hear me out. Think of this pouring himself all out here. Paul clarified here in the verses that we read that servanthood is not always about sunshine and roses. It's not just about service, but it's also about endurance. Endurance displays devotion. So let's look back at the troubles listed in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 10. As servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. In the Brethren New Testament commentary, Harold S. Martin does a fantastic job of breaking down this list from Paul. The following breakdown is accredited to Martin. I'm going to paraphrase it, but I got to break this down. It's going to really help make this relatable to you as servants for God, serving those around you. See, verses 4 and 5 is a group of 9 afflictions that Paul endured. You may relate. The first 3, afflictions, hardships, and calamities. These 3 trials resulting from circumstance. Where Paul ended up, he dealt with hardship. He dealt with calamities, sickness, hard times. These were things that he encountered. What afflictions, hardships, and calamities have you experienced while serving the Lord? Serving for the Lord. The next three, beatings, imprisonments, and riots. Three trials inflicted by others. While serving for the Lord, how many times have you experienced these? Maybe not physical beatings, but mental and emotional. Imprisonments. Maybe not directly imprisoned, but secluded from society or excluded because of your faith. Riots. I know Christians who have served at rallies, at peaceful protests that have gone awry. They go there handing out water, trying to be that servant to others, and then succumb to the turmoil that does result. They're not there protesting, rioting, or anything. They're there trying to serve water, and they're getting caught in the middle of it. And then the labor, sleepless nights, and hunger. Three trials inflicted by self. The hunger there is better translated to fasting. Have you ever worked hard to serve others? Had a late night? Some of you who may have worked with youth may have had late nights transporting kids back and forth. Or fasting. Have you ever fasted to get closer to God? Trials inflicted to your, by yourself as you serve others for the Lord. Verses 6 and 7 provide spiritual resources that Paul utilized for endurance and perseverance. These are things that you can draw on. So as you go through those nine afflictions, hold on to these six inner qualities: the purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love. Those six, how can you use those to get through the afflictions? And three, spiritual provisions. Guess what? Truthful speech, the authentic word given to you, the power of God that you can rely on when your strength is at its end and you don't know how you're going to take your next step, and the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. If you go to Ephesians 6, you'll see there are two pieces of the armor that are held, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. How do you utilize the shield of faith to block what's coming and the sword of the Spirit to take offense to the hardships that come? And then verses 8 through 10 are the paradoxes that Paul has encountered. They reveal a difference between earthly and heavenly values. In honor and dishonor. Dishonored by others, but honored by God. Ill repute, looked poorly at by others, but looked favorably by God. Treated as imposters, yet following the true and authentic word. Claimed to be a nobody, yet well known by the one who created the earth. Claimed to be dying in vain, yet very much alive. Might be punished, but once again, still alive. Sorrowful? Yeah, mourning over sins committed. But guess what? Rejoicing because of the forgiveness, grace, and mercy that is offered. Looked at as poor, yet sharing riches with all. As having nothing, but yet having everything. So much more than what the world has to offer. As a servant, moving forward, dealing with these calamities, these afflictions, these hardships set on by circumstance, others, and yourself, how do you persevere through? How do you get through? How do you display your devotion, not just through action, but also through endurance? Do people see what you're encountering and be like, hey, you had a bad day at work today, but you're still happy about your job? Your boss must treat you really well. Man, people are just encountering you left and right with all kinds of prayer concerns. That would have brought me down. But you're still happy? Yeah, because I know who I trust in. Wait, your trust in Him makes you that happy? That not just for yourself, but even when others are coming to you, you can still rejoice? Maybe I want a piece of that. What you're serving selflessly, sacrificing all this time and energy. And gosh, I've never seen someone smile so much in my life. Who are you serving for? I want to know. So are you ready to be a true servant who is called by God? Are you ready to show your devotion out of willingness rather than obligation? Will your devotion be displayed through acts of endurance as well as acts of service? Are you ready to serve the man, woman, or child that is in your boss's restaurant? You see, there was a time when I wasn't ready for these things. And there are still times that I question it. I go through these afflictions by circumstance, by others, and caused by myself. You're questioning your readiness. I'm going to assure you that you're not alone. I make sure to remind myself that this life I persevere through and the acts of service I perform are not done as service to Him, but as love for Him. They are done as service to others as well as love to others. And the season of Love Feast is approaching. And I need to remember that those things, I need to remember those things as I put the towel around my waist and kneel before my brother. I need to remember this. We are called to serve. Towel around our waist. Pitcher in hand. And basin ready. Let's have a seat, my brother. You never know when you may be called to serve. When the time comes, as Jesus displayed, be ready to wash your brother. Your sister's feet.
I feel very privileged to be able to help brother and do this for you, to show that this is a very, very important part of life, and that is to serve. I truly and truly miss last year when we did not have our Love Feast and Communion. This is a special service that always meant so much to me. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let us pray. Lord God, come before you this morning. We thank you that we are not merely slaves, but you've chosen us to serve those around us. That you've called us in. Say, hey, I want you to be a part of this. My son has come, died on the cross for your sins, paid the price, and risen from the grave to give you new life. So experience this life. And Lord, thank you for calling us into sharing that life with others. Showing others what we have offered to us. Lord, encourage us. Strengthen us through the hardships and afflictions that come, set on by circumstance, ourselves, and those around us. Continue to provide those provisions that give us the strength and endurance to get through so that we can show others what it means to be a servant, devoted fully, wholeheartedly to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We have another hymn. Blessed be the tie that binds. May we go from here in peace, as servants for God, serving those around us, not enslaved and strictly serving Him, but serving those around us, so that is how we can work for Him, encouraging others, sharing with others the gospel, the good news, the peace that comes. May we go in peace. Amen.
Amen.